Wow. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world, like worry, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Wow, what a song. What a song. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to invite you to finish out the sixth chapter of Matthew with us, beginning in Matthew 6, verse 24, as you and I will attempt to go through in the next few minutes something that would probably take a lifetime. Seriously, I'm serious. There will be no way in heaven that I could communicate the truth of what Jesus is relating to us in these verses of Scripture. But primarily the theme for this study today, and something that I think you and I need to learn today, is really, as the title says, how to keep your eyes off tomorrow. Maybe another way that you can say this is, how can I win over worry? How can I stop worrying? How can I get over worrying? You know, if you were to begin a word count of the Bible, let's just say the King James Version. A lot of you read that. It's beautiful. I do too. I use it often. Read it regularly. King James Version has 773,692 words. That's good trivia, you know, kind of question. You might want to write that number down just in case you get into a game where someone says, I wonder how many words are in the Bible. Ah, I've got that answer. 773,692 words in the King James Version of the Bible, and you'll be hard-pressed to find the word worry. Not one time. Fret, anxious. So the thought is there, but the word worry never appears in 773,000 times in the Bible. And yet, and I'm just, hey, we're all family here, okay? All right? Some a little younger, some a little older, we're all family here. And yet, in that, how often, perhaps daily, perhaps even throughout the day, do we find ourselves in that condition? Well, now, David, now, that's a little harsh. I don't know that I actually worry, but I am concerned. Ever use that terminology? Well, I'm not really worried when somebody pinches you back. Don't worry about that. Well, I'm not really worried, but I am concerned. I'm going to show you something in just a moment, a quote about that person that says that, perhaps yourself. Worry defined. Look at this definition of worry. It means to cause to feel troubled or uneasy. Now think about this. To make anxious some circumstance, some person, some situation has made you anxious. A decision that's being made, or a decision that's talked about being made. I'm telling you, folks, listen, you and I need to just realize that Jesus has got a very sure word for us. Many of us, on November the 6th, or was it November the 8th that was Election Day? Was it November the 8th? Was the day of the election, and people went to the polls and they cast their ballots, and some stayed up till 2:41 to find out the clarion call for whoever candidate won the presidency. But all through this time, people were anxious. That situation made people anxious. They worried, what will happen to the future of our country? She goes on to say, it means to be distressed or something that causes mental distress. Now, don't raise your hand, please. Don't raise your hand. But in any of that definition that you see, have any of you ever been there? I mean, you know, if we're really going to be candid and honest with ourselves, and like I said, we're all family here, okay? We're all just, you know, like-minded family. We're all trying to come to some understanding as to what... Have any of you been here? I'm sure you have. I'm sure many, if not most of us, have been at this juncture, okay? So, worry. We're gonna sort of deal with that as best we can in the limited amount of time that we would have. And like I said, this is a journey, folks. We're not going to get to all of the answers, all right? We're not going to get to all the answers or all the conclusions or the results today. I hope we'll take a step in that direction, because Jesus is going to give us, I believe, some very real and meaningful statements that we can, and truth that we can abide by. I don't know who Mary Hemingway is. I think that she is an actress. Does that name ring a bell with some of you? Mary Hemingway? She made a quote some time back about worry. Listen to what she said. Worry a little every day, and in a lifetime you will lose a couple of years. If something is wrong, fix it if you can. But train yourself not to worry. Listen to this. And this is really the part of the statement that I like. Listen to this. Ready? Worry never fixes anything. It doesn't. And I see a lot of you nodding your head like, yeah, that's right. It doesn't. And yet, look where we sit and stand. Well, I know it doesn't fix anything, but it's almost like we've got to worry so that there's some kind of a satisfaction in the fact that we worried ourselves into an ulcer, worried ourselves into gray hair, worried ourselves into the hospital. A Stoic philosopher back in the days of the Greeks said, there is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of your will. A man named Harold Stevens said, there is a great difference, and here's the statement that I wanted you to hear about concern. Remember, well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. Listen to this. There's a great difference between worry and concern. A worried person sees a problem with little or no solution. A concerned person sees a solution to every problem. I don't know if that finds you in that particular category. Someone said, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. There are three haunting things about worry that I'm going to give to you in just a moment. But you have that passage of Scripture before you in Matthew chapter 6 that we have yet to read together, and so as we have been, I'm going to invite you to stand in the reverence of the Word of God, and you read quietly and silently, as allow me to read these words aloud, and just to kind of listen if you're to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Listen to this question. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself did not clothe himself as one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Let me read that one more time. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Heavenly Father, I don't know that we could even touch the hem of the garment of this paragraph of thought. But we're going to just wade into the water. We're just going to settle down for a moment. We're going to listen to you speak to us and teach us these truths. As best as our minds can absorb, I trust that we'll be sensitive, that we'll surrender our wills, we'll quit thinking about tomorrow and all the activity, or yesterday and what didn't happen, and just settle our hearts. Allow the peace of God to speak to our lives. And we'll thank you for what you tell us. And what you teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated, would you? I want to share with you on the screen three what I call haunting. They really are. They're haunting realities or truths about worry. Okay? Now, I know I say this, and I'm not trying to tell you that what I share with you is so important that you need to write it down, but you are somebody, or you are married to somebody, or you have somebody in your family, or you have a friend or a neighbor or so a work associate that's going to talk to you probably and going to speak to you, and perhaps they do not and they have no relationship with Jesus Christ, and so this is foreign to them. They have no idea. They are in that school that you're just supposed to worry yourself into the ulcer, you're supposed to worry yourself sick over something, and that's just life. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Jesus has got, he's going to give us six decisions in just a moment. I'm going to do those very, it's just very brief, but I want you to see these haunting truths about worry. Now, with that, you need to put your finger there in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to turn to John chapter 14, and I want to show you the first one. John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth gospel of the Lord Jesus, those biographical sketches of Jesus. And so, let's look at this first haunting truth about worry. Number one, worry has the capacity, it has the power, it even has the ability to redirect our focus. Thank you, Lauren, for what you shared. And I just thought, man, this is great. This music is just dovetailed into this. The issues of what we've seen in the last few days in our nation and in our communities. And then Lauren sets up here with these children and she talks about focus. Well, guess what worry will do? It will redirect your focus, oftentimes, away from Christ instead of to Him. He'll do that. You know why? We pile it on ourselves. We think it's all about what we've got, these decisions that we've got to make, and I've got to do this, and how can I make this work, because I'm so worried that it will not come to pass. Is that true? I mean, it is in my life. I don't know about you, but worry has the capacity, has the power. It even has the ability to redirect our focus away from Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, and you'll get ready for the second one, because the second one's really going to hit you in the stomach. Okay? Don't go up to it yet, but just be reminded that oftentimes worry will completely redirect your attention away from Jesus. What does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does he say? You know, that in me there is. Now, have you found John chapter 14? Let me show you this. Watch this. In verse 27 of John chapter 14, listen to what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be full of worry, fearful. That's what Jesus says. And yet, what is worry doing? It's dragging us away from Him. It doesn't direct us to Him. Oftentimes, it drags us away from Him. And that's the world that you and I live in. That's the culture, the society that perpetuates that kind of mindset and that kind of thought process and pattern. And we're getting clobbered, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we're getting clobbered every single day of our life through the news media, through the social media, through all means of conversation. And there's this constant element of worry. Either we're producing it or it's being inflicted upon us. And what's it doing? It's redirecting our attention completely away from Christ. You know what you ought to do when somebody just... comes up to you and they go, "Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. And tomorrow is going to be, and yesterday was, and nobody knows the trouble I've seen." All that. You know what you ought to do when that happens? When somebody comes up and just really just vomits on you all this element of worry, you know what you ought to do? Just burst out in song. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee." And see how what kind of conversation you have then. But we don't do that. You know what we do? "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you know, I went through that too. Oh, yeah, I'll worry with you. I'll get an ulcer for you. I'll get more gray hair. I'll have all this." That's what we do. We jump in the mire of that worry, and what is it doing? It redirects our focus away from Jesus. Look at the second one, because it's really kind of connected to this one. Look at this. Worry puts words and actions in our life that here's what we say. In essence, we don't say this verbally, but this is what we're saying. "God, you are unable to see me through this. So what have I got to do? I got to worry myself sick." Is that what Jesus is teaching? Did you read that? Did Jesus say that you need to just bail out on God and just, you know, knuckle down, buckle down, do it? Is that what? No. But that's what worry will do. It'll put words or it'll put actions in your life that what you are, in essence, what you and I are in essence. And listen to me. Hey, folks, look up here at me. I'm not the poster child that's accomplished. I've not arrived. We're all in this thing together. Have you ever noticed the ground here? It's level. We're all on level ground here. I'm not up here being this, mother superior kind of issue and telling you what you should be doing. I have to deal with this every single day and moment of my life. And that's oftentimes, number two, is oftentimes what happens to me. That worry, whatever the issue may be, whether it's domestic with a family, whether it's the ministry, whether it's a national situation, whatever it is, you know what worry's doing? Worry's whispering in my ear. Worry's whispering in my soul. "God's not big enough to take care of this. God's not big enough to take care of this." And I begin to believe that. So what do? I take it on myself. Now some of you, listen to me, some of you are going to go home today and you're going to say something, and your spouse, your family member, somebody's going to say, "Hey, did you hear what the preacher said?" And you know what you're going to say? "I don't believe that. What is he? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know the issues that I'm going through. He doesn't know the sorrow that I've gone through. He doesn't know the decisions I've got to make." And you know what you're going to do? Unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but you know what we'll do? We'll make the decision today that we're going to walk out of this place, and this is not going to affect us at all. We're not going to make any decisions. We're just going to keep on doing what we know we have been doing. I know people. Well, let me give you the third one, and I'll show you something here. This is. Oh, by the way, before you get to that, go ahead. Worry can, finally, if you can read this, worry can and often will paralyze you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It will paralyze you. And you know what? It may just kill you. You say, "I can't believe you said that." Listen to this. Charles Mayo, back in the 1800s, who is famed for the Mayo Hospital and Mayo Clinic dynasty, whether he's a brother or, you know, cousin or whatever, but his name is associated with the health industry. He said, and I quote, "Worry affects circulation, the heart, and the glands, the whole nervous system, and profoundly affects the heart. I have never known a man who died from overwork, but many who have died from worry, from doubt. And it'll affect you." Oh, I don't have time to go into the New England, medical, journals. But there are plenty of people, listen to me, there are plenty of people, and we could take a journey, we could take a field trip if you wanted to, but I've talked to enough doctors, been in ministry long enough and visited enough hospitals and nursing homes and medical facilities that I couldn't count on my fingers and toes how many doctors have said the reason, and they would call a name, is in that room is not because of anything physical. They've worried themselves, perhaps, into that room. It'll affect you. It'll affect everything about you. And some of us reach these feverish pitch elements in our lives, and I'm not trying, this is not psychobabble. Please don't understand that, because I'm not trained in the medical industry. I'm not. But I think the reality is that worry can reach in the feverish pitch areas of our life, that it will affect us emotionally. It will affect us mentally. It will affect us physically and spiritually. And so therefore, I need to ask you a question. And with that question, I want to give you six very quick little answers. And they're all found in these verses of Scripture that we just read. So have we set the stage? Do we know what we're talking about? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have fallen victim to this ominous enemy, but many of us would raise our hand if we, yep, I have. Okay, we're all in this together, okay? Good, all right. Ready? Here's the question. How in the world, based on Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn back there for just a moment, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24, how in the world can you and I effectively keep our eyes off of tomorrow and away from the spirit of worry? Okay? How can we do that? Let me give you, and these are real quick little answers, and you'll see them, they'll come up on the screen, but they're real quick little snippets, but they're all right there. Beginning at verse 24, here's the first one. Commit yourself. I don't mean to an institution. Just commit yourself. What does Jesus tell us to do in verse 24? Listen to it. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." So what's the answer? Am I going to always live in this world that is full of choices, and I can't make up a choice because they all either look so good or they look so bad, and I'm in this quandary, this quagmire of life, and I can't make a decision, and so therefore, what do? I just explode because I worry about it. Well, I want to do this, but I need to do this. But that doesn't look bad. Hey, back here's... And we do that. And I'm not talking about going to the mall and can't figure out what black shoe you want to buy. Or is blue really blue? Gosh, there's three shades of blue. We're not talking about something that immature. We're talking about life issues in your life, especially eternally life issues, which is so very, very important for us to talk about as Jesus is directing our attention. Commit yourself, and I'm going to put a little footnote to that, commit yourself to serve only God. Because that's really what he's talking about. How many of you all remember the name Bob Dylan? It came up in the news just recently with the Nobel Prize winning songwriter. And there was a song, I was in seminary years ago, he came out with an album called Slow Train Running. And there was a song on that album that was, You're Gonna Serve Somebody. I was gonna ask Mike to find that and pull that up so you could hear it. It's Bob Dylan stuff, and I don't want to desecrate the temple with Bob Dylan stuff. But he said, you're gonna serve the devil, or you're gonna serve the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, it's a great truth, by the way, and it's probably very true. And therein lies the element of worry. Because we want to be, quote, politically correct. We want to be, men, you know, a man among men. We want everything. We want everybody to have the. And so, therefore, what do? We make no commitment. We make no decision. Golly, I wish I could spend some time on this, because this first one, this is kind of like the bedrock of everything that Jesus is going to say from now on about the commitment level, where your heart is. So, therefore, commit yourself. Commit yourself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 that a house divided will not stand. And guess what? You'll worry through it all. I had a professor in when I was going to another institution close by as a college student. And I had to take a religion 101 class, basic liberal arts college. And I'll never forget the professor sitting on his desk, looking at the class like this, and he said, a God is that which you give your life to. Now just think about that. A God is that which you give your life to. What did Jesus say? You cannot serve God and wealth. And yet people will sometimes believe that that's their God. Their God is gold. And you know what they do about it? They work over it. Is it going to make me more money tomorrow? Or am I going to lose money tomorrow? And they stay in that whole concept of worrying over. So, first, how can you and I effectively keep our eyes off tomorrow and stay away from the spirit of worry? Commit yourself. Secondly, devote yourself. Devote yourself. Devote yourself to the eternal, not the temporary. Look at verse 25. He says, for this reason, as a result of saying what he just said, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. As to what you will eat, that's temporary. What you will drink, that's temporary. Or what your body will put on, that's temporary. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? All this temporary stuff on one side, and that's what we devote ourselves to. We absolutely, as the point goes, we devote ourselves to that. And that's what we sometimes worry about, all this temporary stuff instead of eternal stuff. And not that you need to worry about eternity. You don't need to worry about eternity. You need to be devoted to it. You need to be devoted to it. What was the song on the video? Remember it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's eternity. Someone once said that money will buy you sleep, but it will not buy you rest. That money will buy you pleasure, but it will not buy you joy. The temporary element of money will buy you a thrill, but it will not buy you fulfillment. That temporary money elements in your life will buy you stuff for here, but it will not secure anything for hereafter. Devote yourself. Thirdly, remind yourself. Look at verse 26 of our text. The Bible says, remind yourself how important you are to God. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now watch this. Here comes the question. And by the way, he asked eight questions in this paragraph. Verse 24 through verse 34, he asked eight questions. Probably more than any other particular paragraph of thought in this entire Sermon on the Mount. But in verse 26, he says, are you not worth more than they? Now, he's not trying to say sparrows are not important. I'm sure that Jesus was a bird lover. I'm sure that he loved the agrarian world that he lived in. Sheep, goats, and cows, and all that. I'm sure they did all that. But he's talking about value now. And you and I need to remind ourselves In the midst of all the stuff that you and I go through, and the issues that we are faced with, and the people that we engage and engage us and encounter, you know what Jesus is saying? Don't need to worry. Because I place great value on you. He doesn't know what you've gone through or what you're going through or even perhaps what you will go through. I value you. Your value has never diminished in the person and the presence of Jesus. You are absolutely priceless to Him. So, when you get to that, well, I just don't know, and how's this going to all happen, and how's this going to happen, and all that kind of, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You say, ah, David, that's too easy. That's our problem. We slough off the great truths and the reality of the Scripture that is anointed of the Spirit of God, inerrant, infallible in its truth, and we say, nah, that's just too simple. That's too easy. Okay, all right. We'll do it your way then. Let's just get in your line. And let's worry ourselves sick. And let's worry ourselves into a heart conditions. And let's worry ourselves into an ulcer. And let's worry ourselves into gray hair. Because that's what the world tells us to do. See, the world's not telling you and me, listen, the world's not telling you and me to devote ourselves to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. No. And so therefore, we need to remind ourselves that we are of great value. Elizabeth Cheney said in her poem, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And He does. You think you're alone? You think you're a person without purpose and value? No. That's not the truth of the Bible. That's what the world is telling you. Number four, re-remind yourself. Not only remind yourself is a great truth to know, but re-remind yourself. Because if you look at verse 27, listen to what he says. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you worried about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, and yet Solomon never, never adorned himself like this. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is gone in the furnace, will He not clothe you much more? Oh, you of little faith, just re-remind yourself. Re-remind yourself that God is completely in control. He's in control. Now, I know what you're thinking. And it does look like it's out of control, doesn't it? Yeah. The marriage, the family, the business, the situation in Chattanooga with that horrible, horrific situation, the church that's meeting right now that I told you about in another city that's going through such a deep, 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 deep valley. That all looks like it's out of control, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. And just be honest with me. You look at the paper, you listen to the news, you text or you look on the social media elements, and it just looks like everything has just gone nuts and crazy. And guess what? We're being told that. We're being told that. I mean, Sean Hannity, you know, on Fox News. Madness! This is madness! And all the other pundits say the same thing. And everybody says, oh, where are we going in our world and all this kind of stuff? And it's all out of control. It's out of control. It's like the skier coming down the ski slope. And when you hear that, you get out of their way. You know why? They're out of control. They're going to crash into a tree or perhaps crash into you. And that's where you think you are. Yeah. Yeah, everything's out of control. Is it? From what perspective are you looking? Are you looking through eyes of flesh? Or are you looking through eyes of faith? Dramatic difference. If Jesus Christ said, and I'm just going to ask y'all, I want you to, if Jesus Christ Himself said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever even forsake you, you believe Jesus lied? Well, then that would mean that He is here. And He's right there in your situation, even as you and I worry about it. trying desperately to say, I need to remind you that you are of great value, and let me re-remind you that I've got it all under control. Now, you know what we do? Well, why isn't he coming through? Oftentimes, that's what we do. Well, why? When is he going to answer my prayer? He is answering your prayer. You're just not listening. I'm not listening. Because he is answering. And he will fulfill his plan and his purpose. There's a lesson for us to be learned. A lesson for us to learn. Number five, teach yourself. Look at verse 33. We sang this song just a few minutes back, but we need to teach ourselves something as to the value of spiritual things first. What does he say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added. Isn't it interesting, the priority of Jesus? Here's another way of putting it. It's found in the Psalms. It's in Psalms. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But you know what, so often what we want? We want all those things added to us first. We want the desires of our heart first, instead of trusting in the Lord first, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So therefore, he's teaching us. He's teaching us first to obey our teacher, who is Jesus. He's teaching us to focus on the subject, which is his kingdom and his righteousness, and he's teaching us to then receive the reward, and all these things will be added to you. He's teaching us. The question is, are we learning? Or are we just going to go with the flow? Are we going to go with what we've always done before because that's always seemingly worked itself out? Well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to come out. But everything will work itself out. Really? From whose viewpoint? We need to understand that Jesus has a priority here. He's trying to teach his children where their attention should be. And where is that? Seek first the kingdom of God. By the way, can I tell you something about that word, seek first? Listen to this. I'm not going to confuse you about it, but you need to hear this. Did you know that's a commandment? He's not saying, if it's convenient, if you feel like it, if it's okay with you, we can talk about this, we can negotiate. He's not saying that. No, this is a commandment. When he says, seek first, he said, I command you to seek first. That's Jesus. That's the one that died for your soul. That's the one that forgives you of your sins. That's the one that walks with you on a day-by-day basis. That's the one that fills your heart with a love that only God can give. That's Jesus. That's the one that you call your Savior. That's the one that has promised you a place in heaven. That's Jesus. And he is commanding you and me to seek first his kingdom. Not ours. His. And if we do that, he rewards that by saying, then all the things that you need, I will provide. And then there's one final thing. Prepare yourself. Because if you'll notice, verse 34 it says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just prepare yourself. You know why? Because tomorrow is going to perhaps be a lot like today. I mean, it could be. Because the things that are of concern right now may be of great concern tomorrow. But you know what? We need to live right now. We need to trust right now. We need to place our faith in Christ right now. We need to be devoted and taught and reminded right now. We need to be prepared right now. Everything changes then. When we focus our attention upon the one who has the answer, because he is the answer, When we then look to Him and say to Him, now, there is a situation, there is a person, there is an issue that is of great concern, even to the point that I'm beginning to worry about it. Oh, Lord Jesus, what should I do? You know what He says? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So the question that I'm asking you now is, where is Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Because He's the answer. He's the answer to the worry that I portray. And so I'm going to ask you just for a moment to bow your head and to quietly just spend a moment just silently with the Lord, perhaps even over some of the things that have been said and the things that we've looked at through the Scripture. And now I want you to just sort of place them right in your life. Someone will come up to me at the end of the service, inevitably, and they will say, but David, you may not know. Or David, perhaps you don't understand. It doesn't really matter if I do. And I appreciate the fact that you would put confidence in me to want to express those concerns and those worries. But did you take them to Jesus? Have you taken that issue to Christ? I mean, really, and surrendered, given it to Him to such a point that you are never giving it, you're never taking it back. That's all too often what we do. It's kind of like a cul-de-sac. You reach the end of it and you think, okay, I'm going to leave it here, but what do? You just go around the cul-de-sac and you come right back to it. We take it back up. No, with what Jesus, I think, is trying to teach us is that if we are going to learn and be taught and be prepared and be reminded and be devoted and committed to these great truths that He has expressed, then what He is really saying is, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give all to Him. That means your family member or a loved one, the issue at work, the issue at school, the issue in your family, whatever it may be, you're going to lay that at His feet, seeking first Him. And then allow Him, whatever plan and process and timing it goes through, then you leave it with Him. You leave it with Him. And you allow Him, in all of His grace and all of His glory, you let Him work His wonderful, divine, and sovereign work to bring to pass what He has designed to do. You got to do it, folks. That's the only place worry belongs. Not in your heart, but at His feet. Don't make a laundry list. He knows it. He already knows it. You're of great value to Him. You've got to place it in His keeping. And then you got to walk away. Does that mean you're irresponsible? No. But you're not captured by the spirit of worry. Why? Because worry is going to tell you, God's not big enough. He can't handle this. That's what worry is going to tell you. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace. Not as the world. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid or fearful. Are you doing that now? Because that's really the invitation. That's really this moment that I just want to place that in your heart. Because we could sing and we could have music and we could make a public appeal and have you stand and come down here and shake my hand or get on your knees at one of these front chairs or something like that. But you need to do business with God right where you're sitting, right now, right now. There's enough brokenness in this room right now. Jesus wants to heal He wants to heal that brokenness. He wants to take you from worry to a new level of His faithfulness in your life. Giving it to Him? Are you surrendering it to Him? Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. And it doesn't have to stop here. No, no. Just like worry will creep its ugly head up again, time after time after time, you need to take it right back to the cross. Whatever the issue may be, take it to the cross. Leave it with Him. So, Father, I thank You for moving in my heart today. I've needed this. I really have needed this. I didn't know exactly how this would affect me, but it is. And it does, because I'm just like everybody else. I also know, Heavenly Father, that there are people in here, individuals and family members and loved ones and situations and issues. And we've prayed for a community up in Chattanooga. We've prayed for a church over in another city that's just hurting. I mean hurting, deep, deep valley hurting. And only You, Father, only You have the answer. People are worried about everything. It's amazing what we can worry about. And yet, Lord Jesus, You say, don't worry. Don't let the enemy capture the Spirit of God and the joy and the fulfillment that He gives us. Don't let Him rob us. So, Father, perhaps many sitting quietly with heads bowed and maybe even tears coming out are expressing to You that they have no answer, but You do. They have come to the realization that You are the answer to the situation that they have been so worried about. So they're seeking now You. They're seeking first You, Your kingdom, Your righteousness. That's who You are. That's what You have come to say and do for us. You are who they are seeking. And the results, they're going to leave it up to You. Just placing it at the foot of the cross. Surrendering that worry and that situation. And then leaving it up to You for the answer. Thank You. Now, Father, as we go from this place, I trust it is My prayer, Father, that we've learned a lesson. It may be just one small nugget, and that's good. That's fine. But may we have learned that we are valuable, that we need to commit ourselves, that we need to be prepared, we need to be taught. Whatever it might be, Father, I trust that we've learned it today. As we go from this place, help us to trust You. Thank You for that. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.